You want to live a life on fire and on mission. You want to be filled with such conviction and drive that you stop caring about what anyone thinks. You want to face each day alive, authentic, and fully present in every moment. With your wife, with your kids, on the street, at work. You want to bring yourself to the table and to stop bringing the watered-down, nice, what-everyone-wants version of you. You want that self to be a man who is burning in passion for Jesus, unafraid to bring his kingdom to anyone in your path, no matter what it costs you. You want to love the one in front of you without fear, without needing love back, and without reserve. You want to husband well. You want to father well. You want to shepherd your life well. You want to be a safe pillar for anybody around you. You want to experience God for real, to not just believe, but to know that he's got you and that he'll show up on your behalf, that he'll show up through you. You want to get to the end of your race and say, yep, I gave it everything. Jesus, you know I'm all in. And you want to know just how to get there. Welcome to Man Warrior King. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Congratulations. You're among the violent taking the kingdom by force. You're among the chosen answering the call to rise above yourself. You're in the forge being stripped down and strengthened, and you will rise stronger, solid, unshakable. You are a man. You're a warrior. You are a king. I want to encourage you to pick up my new book, The DNA of a Man. This book has been selling hundreds and hundreds of copies in the last several months, and it has been revolutionizing the lives of men and even some women alike. I've got messages from guys telling me that they, since reading the book, they have become a more confident and sure and strong husband. Their marriage is getting healed. I've had other guys contact me saying, my marriage has been over, but this book has helped me get back on my feet again. It's helped me realize who I am in Jesus. It's given me hope for a future. I've had other guys contact me, having never been married, saying, this book is giving me confidence. It's showing me the power of my identity in Jesus. It's reframing how I see myself and how I see the world around me. I want to challenge you, if you need more transformation in your life, please, please, please do yourself a favor and pick up The DNA of a Man. It's only $6.90. And you get the PDF file and the Kindle file and a free bonus teaching as well. You can find it at manwarriorking.com/DNA. That's manwarriorking.com/DNA. Thanks, gentlemen. God has brought into my radar Jeremiah chapter 1, and it was on my radar last week too. We never actually got around to it because we were just praying and helping each other out for most of the time, which was fantastic. And I was asking him about our meeting tonight, and he brought it back up again. So I'm gonna go there, Jeremiah 1. And this chapter actually was one of the first chapters in my life that I felt like jumped out to me, and it was meant for me. And this was when I was in probably high school. I don't think it was middle school. I was in high school. And guys, a lot of where I'm at right now is because of the practice of literally spending time with the Lord. You know, we can talk about seeking God. We can talk about seeking him in all these different parts of our lives, even seeking him for healing. We can talk about that all day long and kind of have it mean this like general undercurrent of it's on my mind. It's on the forefront of my mind. I'm like thinking about him in this area. And I say that just to myself as well. I go through seasons where I'm like, wait, am I really seeking God on this? Or am I just paying lip service to that idea? And I'm not actually, because seeking God, I believe, often involves dedicated time with him. There are times when we simply can't do that for whatever reason. But I'm of the thought that when I put in time with him, I'm building up a bank account so that if there comes a stretch of weeks or days or whatever, when I'm like, I don't know, for whatever reason, I'm not taking that dedicated time with him, I'm still able to be walking in his presence daily because I've been with him so much. But I do believe, and somebody may end up proving me wrong somewhere down the road. I believe, though, that we drain. If we're not staying connected in that taking time with Jesus to be with him, we leak that out. And we can only last for so long, I believe, before we really, like, we start to run on fumes and we start to run on just what's coming to our own head, what we're coming up with on our own, and not the supernatural lifestyle that we can have. And for whatever it's worth, whether you love him or hate him, Benny Hinn used to teach that there was about a two-week period of, like, where for him, spending time with Jesus consistently, good dedicated time for 2 weeks straight would be like what it usually would take for him to feel like he was getting back up into his full operating potential with the Spirit. So there's just interesting thoughts there. But a lot of where I'm at today has been from an early age, middle and high school, those times of me being alone with Jesus in my room, laying in my bed at night before going to sleep, having my Bible open and, like, reading it and writing stuff down. There was no rhyme or reason to how I would journal. I would just journal based on, you know, what I was reading in the Word at that time. And I would journal my frustrations. I'd journal my prayers, my hopes, everything. I'd just be like, God, why don't I see this in my life? I need more of you. And during that season, I came to this chapter of Jeremiah, and I couldn't help it. But I read it and I felt like God was saying, Matt, this is about you. And it's odd because it feels really prideful to say this chapter is about me, because this is like God telling Jeremiah, I've appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Before you were born, I consecrated you. You know, go to whoever I send you. You're going to tear down nations and all these things. And it's like, well, yeah, of course. Of course you'd want that one to be yours. Everybody would. You know, that's pretty arrogant of you to say this applies to you. Who are you to say that? You know, and so as a young man reading this and not being able to shake that, I had all those thoughts of like, well, that's really nice, but you know, what if I'm just making it up? But I would say also at that young age, I had less of the adult style thinking that explains everything away going on. So even though I may have had some of those thoughts of reservations about it, I was way more inclined to believe God's speaking to me here. And I think sometimes he speaks to us in that way where he brings this chapter or this verse, hits us across the face with it and says, boom, this is for you, and everything changes on his own. But I think a lot of times he speaks that way when we have been tilling the soil by continually seeking him and being with him and spending time with him. And we get that ground ready. And for whatever reason, after a certain period of time, it's like, boom, Matt, here's revelation that you hadn't gotten before, but you've been tilling the ground. You've been working this soil and you're ready for it now. And as you continue, boom, Matt, here's another one that you hadn't known before, and another one. And we make this lifestyle of spending time with him happen. And he meets us with these revelations. And so It says here, Now the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Guys, I believe that God wants to do a few things in this movement, in this call right now, and in our world of men in the church at large. I believe that there are people who are, I don't know, for lack of a better word, like vocational prophets, kind of where they have this position in the body of Christ where they speak out God's heart for the church at this point in history, something like that. So I believe there are those who are prophets in that regard. But I also believe that God is wanting in our day to get his people, and this is women too, but we're men here, so I'm just going to say men. He wants to get his men all functioning as prophets. And I don't necessarily think that always means we're all going to be predicting the future all the time, but I do believe that what he is wanting is for us to connect with him so deeply and intimately that we can, with confidence and authority, speak into a situation and have our words be representative of what God would say if he were there. And a lot of times we think that we don't have that place. We think that we don't have that authority. We think that that is too audacious and bold to assume I could speak God's word into a situation, to assume that I might somehow know what his heart is here and speak over it. We think that that's for somebody else, but not us. And I think God's tired of that. I think that's an old way of thinking. I think that's an old line of reasoning that he just wants to see die. In Acts, it talks about how Peter says, this is that which was promised by the prophet Joel, and he's making it available to you, the people who he was talking to immediately, and to those who are far off, to all who believe. And if you look at the promise in Joel that he's referring to, he's talking, like it says that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. You will dream dreams and see visions. And it's not talking about just think natural dreams. It's talking about dreaming dreams in the supernatural realm. Revelation from God, seeing visions. Now, whether you're in a charismatic circle or not, or you've come out of that or you haven't, I don't know, but I know this thing in the Bible is really hard to explain away. When Peter says this is the promise that's made available to everybody who believes, and that promise includes getting revelation from the Lord. So as I say, I really believe that God wants us all to be prophets. I believe there's some scriptural backing for that. And, but did you have something? You're muted, by the way.
The spiritual backing for that? Would that be 1 Corinthians 14? Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy?
Absolutely. That one belongs front and center in the spiritual backing category. Absolutely. Thank you for that. Yeah. And the part that I'm referring to in Acts is chapter 2. I believe it's chapter 2 in Acts, where the Spirit comes on Pentecost. Yeah, it's chapter 2. And
Yeah, he says in chapter 2, verse 16 or 15, these people aren't drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. It's repeated again. So we've got what Bud brought up, Corinthians 14. We've got Acts. We've got Joel. We've got this scriptural backing that we should all prophesy. See, there's a big change that happens when you start to think of yourself as, what if I'm God's chosen prophet for this situation? And yeah, it can get weird when you start throwing the word prophet around, but you guys know that that's not what this is about. But still, what if I'm God's chosen prophet? What if I'm the one who's here right now? I don't see anybody else here who's a believer, who's following him. What if I was sent into this, for example, doctor's office to speak to this receptionist right now? What if, as has been the case with me, I am going to Stanford to get my IV treatment, and I am supposed to speak a word or pray a word of healing for the technician who's sticking the needle in my arm? What if I have that place of authority? And we start to think, we start to lean towards that rather than, oh, I should probably be quiet. And, you know, I have not found the complete and utter courage inside myself to test this too much yet. But I have wondered at times, as we get closer to the Lord and as we learn to hear his voice better and better, I've wondered how many of those random passing thoughts that come through my head about somebody as I'm walking by, I've wondered how many of those are actually accurate that are from him that I just never know because I never actually step out and risk like saying it. That's a weird thing to think. But you have people who have really worked this muscle, stepped out in risk, and who have just made it a practice to pray for people and speak words over them, who get, it's like the gift grows. They get more and more crazy, weird, specific revelations as they take risks with the little they do have. And at the bottom line, we can all prophesy with 100% accuracy when we tell somebody, hey, did you know what? Jesus loves the heck out of you. If we don't get much more revelation than that, we can start there and see what Jesus does when he meets us in that place. So I believe that everybody here on this call, God has chosen you to be his prophet. So I challenge you, and I challenge myself. My family and I, we were sitting around the table last night, and we were talking about some things like the weird tragedy when, like, sometimes missionaries who are, could be fantastic missionaries, they come home on sabbatical or whatever, and they're kind of on vacation from missionarying, and how it's strange that we only do that. We only work to build the kingdom when we're on, but when we're off, we're off. And we were talking about it with our girls, and my wife was making the point, she had this like 20 something member family. It was when she was a kid, like with cousins and her grandparents and everything like that. Her grandpa was wealthy enough to take all 20 something people on a 2-week vacation to Hawaii, all expenses paid, like everything crazy. And she was like, but what's really sad, my family would all call themselves Christians, but not one single person at that resort was prayed for while we were there. Not one single person was talked about Jesus with while we were there. And my daughter was like, oh, what did she ask? It was convicting. Because we took a family vacation a couple years ago to Palm Springs. She was like, did you guys pray for anybody in Palm Springs? And I was like, no, we didn't. And we were sitting there like letting this thing rest over us. And my wife was like, you know what? That needs to be a family thing. When we take a family vacation, we need to not leave until we've prayed for at least somebody. And that's probably far too few. And so with this revelation has just hit us freshly today. And I was reminded of this time, and it's as a family, it was fun. One time we went to Whole Foods and I was sitting out in the car with my daughter while my wife ran in. She walked out to the car and after she was done in the store, and she was like, Matt, you see that guy over there? She pointed to this guy who is out front of the store with a sign asking for help. And she was like, I heard that he has a bad back and he needs us to pray for him. I was like, all right. She was like, I need you to do that. I was like, no, I do not like your walking in the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not comfortable with this. And I was thinking like, no, I don't want to do this. Don't put me on the spot. You own your own word of knowledge. You go do it. But she being a woman and him being a man who is a little rough around the edges looking, I was like, all right, I'll go do it. I'll act on your word of knowledge. So I walked over there, and it turned out he was actually with a woman as well. I think they were a couple. And, he was there and they spoke Spanish. So I couldn't really communicate with them that well. He spoke Spanish and I asked in English first if they needed anything, if they needed prayer for anything, and they didn't know what I said. So then I did my best to speak Spanish to him, and it was broken Spanish, but I asked something about if he had pain in his back. And the wife actually like looked at me like, really? Yeah. And I was like, okay, cool. And so I asked where it was, and he's like, he pointed to his lower back. And so I don't think I had ever prayed for a stranger to be physically healed before. All right. This was the first time ever. And it was because of my wife's stinking word of knowledge. It wasn't even my own. So I was kind of on the spot. Plus I had to man up and be like manly in front of her. I couldn't chicken out. Right. So I prayed for him, in English, and, I like did my best. Since then, I've gotten better at the follow-up to, you know, be able to see what actually happened, but I did my best. And I was like, yeah. So, what did I ask? Like, ¿cómo estás? Or something like, how are you? How does it feel? And, he was like, oh yeah, yeah. Better. Good. Good. Like, bueno, whatever he said. And I was like, okay, cool. Thanks. And I gave him like $5 because I wanted to also honor what they were asking for. And I walked away. I don't really know for sure how it all went, but it was just like, it was just this moment of everyday life. My wife receiving revelation that we chose to risk. We chose to step out. We could have dismissed it, or we could have chosen like we did to say, you know what? I might be God's chosen prophet for this situation. And see what happens. And like I said, I wish that I would have, you know, followed through a little bit more to know, you know, what's going on with them now. But gosh, it's so scary to be a prophet, but it's also a lot of fun. And so I'm really glad that Jesus opened that whole thing up to us with Corinthians, everybody desire that you should prophesy, and Acts saying that we would all prophesy. It's so much fun. it makes life exciting. Sometimes, guys, like, there's a big question that's in the Man Warrior King movement, which is, what is my mission? I don't know what my mission is. What is the ministry that God's called me to? What is, you know, I just need to figure that out. And we can get in this like holding pattern of feeling like I'm just hanging on and everything's on hold until God like shows me, oh, there's my ministry. There's my vocational ministry. There's the whatever that I can go walk into. And I think we're missing living on mission based on the supernatural reality of Jesus where we are at. And that's not to say that that other kind of mission is wrong and that if you're seeking that, that you should stop. Please don't hear me say that. But what I'm saying is that alongside of that, we should be definitely looking to up our game in the daily mission, which is that we should all prophesy, which is that we should all bring the glory of Jesus to the people who don't know him and who do. I can't tell. I prayed for people to be healed who are Christians, but never really knew that they could pray that way. This stuff, when we actually believe, like Jeremiah 1, when we venture to say, you know what, Jesus, even though you said Jeremiah was your prophet that you appointed for the nations, I'm going to take that for myself. When we step into that, Ivan, it is so good to see you, by the way, my friend, or at least your face, your name on the screen. Thanks for being here. But when we take that, yes, there you are. Good to see you. When we take that for ourselves, it opens up a whole world that we never knew existed or that we thought was off in the distance until we got our circumstances lined up so we could finally focus on ministry. When Jesus is saying, you know what? Screw your circumstances. Your ministry is what's happening in front of you if you let it. And I think the more that we choose to obey this thing and step into it, the more that more of this chapter starts to become real for us, right? Because we object. We say, no, it's right here. Verse 7, don't say I'm only, Jeremiah said in verse 6, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a youth. I don't know how to speak. And God says, don't say that. Just like he said to Moses, right? We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. He says, quit that. For to everyone to whom I send you, you're going to go. Because when it comes down to it, I'm the dad and you do what I tell you. Go wherever I send you, whatever I command you, speak it. Because I am with you to deliver you. My goodness, you guys, all those religious thoughts that say, well, it's pretty presumptuous to say that you're a prophet. It's pretty presumptuous to think that you can hear from God that way. It's pretty risky. All those voices shouldn't matter when God says, you know what? I'm with you. I'm with you. And yeah, we know that he would be with us if we didn't go because he's everywhere. But he says, go because I'm with you. I feel like there's like an extra level of with him-ness that we get to tap into when we actually go out and do these things, when we actually step into the commands that he's giving us. There's a level of experiencing him that we don't ever get to see if we just stay silent, if we just stay on the sidelines.
Yeah, without faith, the Father will please him.
Yeah, right. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Exactly. And he's a rewarder of those who seek him. So if we're seeking him and we're seeking him out on the front lines, he's going to reward us. He's going to meet us. Yeah, we might fall on our faces sometimes. I've done it. I have embarrassed myself. But that kind of pales in comparison to the rewards when he shows up in a powerful way.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Randy. Man, yeah. There's some fire getting flung here on this meeting right now. Scott, do you have something?
No, I was just saying that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything right there.
You know, I, when you guys were talking, you know, John, you were mentioning kind of the going through the cycle, like over and over and over again, just being frustrated. How, like, I'm not, what's up with this? What's what, where's the good soil at? You know, one thing that jumps out at me there is Jesus says, blah, 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 blah. Oh, the one that says he receives it with joy, but has no root in himself. Roots are what keep us anchored and strong, right? No matter what kind of weather comes up. So when I think of being rooted or having no root, I think of shallow, being shallow. And I think of relying on our feelings, right? So like, John, you were saying you went all over this way, that way, everywhere, trying to find the thing. What's going to be the thing to get me out of this cycle? And we often look, I was just talking about this in the ranks of Adullam earlier today, but we often look for the thing that's going to change our feelings, because the feelings we look at as our signal of actual real change. And so we receive it with joy for a while, but we don't have root. So we're relying on how we feel to tell us whether we're doing okay or not, instead of saying, you know what? The seed that's getting planted in here says I'm okay. And I have to man up and grow some balls and believe what's true, even if my feelings are telling me something else. And we stop going back and forth, one day believing the gospel, the next day not believing it. And we say, no, I will believe this thing day in and day out. And I'm going to wrestle my feelings until they start listening to me, you know, and it reminds me, I've talked about it before, James, it says like, be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. Because if you're just a hearer, you're just deceiving yourself. Mm-hmm. You're like a man who looks in the mirror and walks away and forgets what he saw. And it's the same kind of thing. Like what we're talking about this with Jeremiah and being a prophet, like, if we want to grow up into the next level, we can't just hear somebody tell us over and over and over again. We've got to actually step out and do the gospel. We have to show we believe it. James says, show me your faith by your actions. We have to do the gospel, thereby letting it sink in and take root, and get past the feelings that say, oh no, I can't do this. No, not for me. So we always stay shallow, waiting for God to change us when he's saying, well, I'm waiting for you to take action. That's what was coming up for me as you guys were talking there, just that idea of the action and the belief getting rooted beyond our feeling. So good. And man, it's so good. You're right. We have to be all in. And here's the thing of hope for that. Because there's some people on this call that are probably struggling with something. You're probably struggling with a thing that you feel, man, if I was an actual good Christian, I wouldn't be doing this. And I can't seem to stop, right? I'm just struggling with this. And so we can start to think, well, am I not all in? Because I'm really trying. And I would say, okay, there's the people out there who are like, yeah, I say I believe, but I'm also willfully living in sin in another way. And I'd be like, really? You don't seem like it. You seem pretty lukewarm. All right, there are those people. But there are a good deal of people who are like, I believe Jesus. I love him. I want everything about him. And I'm still struggling with this thing that I hate. And we can think, man, I must not be all in because I'm still stuck in this thing and I must be lukewarm or whatever. And I would suggest that there's a lot of hope for people in that situation, because I think the actual battleground for whether we're all in or not is how we choose to think and believe, even in the face of that struggle that seemingly won't go away, right? We can be struggling with a thing and we can respond and say, oh man, I'm such a worthless piece of crap. There's no way Jeremiah 1 applies to me. There's no way I'm God's prophet. I just blew it again. I would say that is more lukewarm than the sin itself. Because we could blow it and be like, oh my gosh, I hate that. That really sucks. But Jesus, I thank you that your thoughts about me have not changed one bit. And I could walk out right now, find somebody on the street and bless them in Jesus' name. And you'd meet me there. Amen. Because the gospel is what's true more than the thing that I'm struggling with. God increases Jeremiah's authority exponentially over the course of this chapter. At first, he just says, like, I put my words in your mouth. But then, you know, he says in verse 9 and 10, he says, I put my words in your mouth, and I've set you over nations and kingdoms to pluck up and break down, destroy and overthrow, to build and plant. And then at the end of chapter 1, he says, don't be dismayed by them, and lest I dismay you before them. And I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They'll fight against you, but they won't prevail against you, for I am with you. So he's increasing what he's saying over Jeremiah. And it's basically like, listen. And this applies with what John was saying too, of like God saying, hey, I want your whole heart. There's places that you haven't given to me. And God's saying, listen, this is who I have designed you to be. This is who I have laid out for you to be. Will you obey me and step into this? And if you do, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. First of all, God calls Jeremiah his prophet and then says, they're going to come up against you. They're going to fight you. They're going to resist you, but don't give in. Don't be dismayed. That's it again. Are you all in or are you out? Are you going to be lukewarm or not? Don't be dismayed. And he says, I've made you a fortified city, and I've given you authority to destroy and to build, to plant and to tear down. So like Randy was just saying, speak with that authority. Prophesy over our lives and our families and our kids, even when the resistance comes, even when the thing doesn't look like it's happening, even when the neck isn't healed yet, even though we thought it was. We continue and don't give up. Because we could all just probably just keep preaching for another couple hours, right? But in Hebrews, it says, we are not of those who draw back to unbelief, but we keep pushing forward. We keep pushing on. And that includes when we come face to face with our own failures and the Lord saying, hey, I need this part of you. I want more of you. I want you to give me this. And we're like, yeah, I still haven't done it yet. Okay, get out of the self-pity mode and just do it again. Just go again. Because his grace is never ending. So we don't have to feel terrible on ourselves for not being better yet. We just get up and we go. This is Matt Halleck signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out, take more ground, push back darkness. Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker, you are a giver. Abundance is your atmosphere.